This is the Change Management Podcast by the University of South Wales. My name's Dr. Louise Bright, and I'm joined by Richard McDermott, Director of Project Management and Change Consultancy, RPMC, and also a Fellow of the Association for Project Management. Today, we'll be discussing projects, programmes and portfolios. But before we start, Richard, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Hi, Louise. Yes, I'm delighted to be talking to you today. Thank you for inviting me to do so. I've spent most of my career managing and, if I'm completely honest, many times struggling to deliver projects and programmes. So I've done a huge amount of work in the public and private sector, loved it, absolutely loved it. It is infectious delivering outputs and outcomes for people. I find it incredibly rewarding. So hopefully be able to provide some insights and some lessons learned today about projects, programmes and portfolio.
See, those three terms, I guess we should start there. So projects, programmes and portfolios, we use those terms in various ways when we talk about project management. Is it important for us to distinguish between those three terms? And if so, why?
I think it is. I think most people would understand what a project is, although I have to say my daughter never knows what I do. When she explains it to her friends, she always keeps coming back and saying, I can't really do it, Dad. What is a project and what is a project manager? But most people see a project as going from A to B and the journey to get there. But it's a little bit more complex than that, because to a degree, you could say that about a program, and to a degree, possibly even a portfolio. So it is important to differentiate. And I guess the three deal in different, let's say, currencies. So a project, it's absolutely a temporary thing. It's a temporary organization that's set up to deliver an output or a set of outputs. And normally this is enshrined and set out in a business case. So projects delivering outputs. Now, a program, that's also temporary. And it is an organizational structure that's created to coordinate, to oversee and to direct a set of projects. But not only those projects, it's also about the related business changes to make sure that what the projects deliver is able to be used effectively, and that the outcomes that we're looking to deliver as part of the program stick. So programs, program is coordinating a set of projects, but also those business changes. So slightly different. And then portfolio. Portfolio is often missed within an organization. I've worked with many organizations and in some organizations where portfolio management was not really applied, not really taken seriously. So lots of programs underway, lots of projects underway, but without that portfolio level control, without that oversight of all the things that the organization had on. So really, a portfolio is the sort of totality of an organization's investments in the changes that it requires to deliver its strategic objectives at the end of the day.
Interested in learning about driving organizational change? Search for the USW Changemaker Program.
I think you began to touch on this already, but I'm really interested in scale and complexity, particularly with those projects and programs. Can you talk us through some of those key differences, really?
Yeah, so I touched, didn't I, on the word output and associating that with a project, and an outcome being associated with program. And in fact, MSP uses in the latest edition uses a nice term, outcomes of benefit, which we can perhaps return to later. But think of an output as something that we would produce, but the outcome is as a result of that. So in a way, you could think of, for example, if we dealt with a highways agency, outputs from their projects might be to do with miles of the motorway that they've built or miles of motorway that they've prepared. That's a set of outputs, isn't it? Mm. Now, the outcomes they're looking to achieve would be, by doing that, better traffic flow or fewer accidents on the road, less damage to people's cars. Their outcomes. So there's just an example that's perhaps different from an IT world or some of the areas that we might exist within. Mm. And an outcome is the result of the change derived from using the project's outputs.
So in my language, then, I would, am I writing in saying an outcome for me would be, in kind of layman's terms, like an impact?
In a way. So if we think University of South Wales, sort of outputs produced by perhaps some of your tutors could be, lesson plans, packs, could even be the materials or books that they use. But the outcome at the end of the day is going to be percentage of students passing exams.
Got you. So let's move on then to think about portfolio management. Why is that so important?
Yeah, as I said earlier, it's often missed. And in my mind, I think it's critical for three related reasons. Remember, portfolio management is the totality of that investment to deliver all those changes, projects and programs to achieve those objectives. So it sounds pretty important, right? But it is often missed. And for me, to simplify, it's critical for three related reasons. So visibility, alignment and control. So put yourself in the position of being a business leader and think about those three things. So firstly, visibility. So as a business leader, it's really important to know what you've got on your plate. You know, what are you delivering for customers? What internal transformation and change programs are you delivering to achieve those strategic objectives? If you haven't got a grip of all of those and all of the outputs of your projects and outputs of your programs that are helping achieve those, then really your investment in that change is out of control and you can't really have certainty or any visibility about how you're going to achieve those objectives. So it's really important from that perspective. Secondly, alignment. So business leaders need to make sure that we're delivering the right things. So are the things that we're delivering for our clients the right products and services? Frankly, when we bid for work, are we bidding for the right products and services? Are we working with the right clients? Are we stepping outside of our area of expertise in some of the things we're looking to deliver? And will our relationship with them work in an appropriate exchange of values, which we might deliver some of our strategic objectives regarding growth, for example? So we need to be really, really clear that all of our projects and programs contribute towards those strategic objectives in some way. And if they don't, why are we doing them? And then finally, control. So related to the two above, I guess, is we need to understand, and portfolio management helps us do this, we need to understand how our organization is doing in terms of all of the projects and programs that are being designed and delivered internally and externally, of course, for our customers. So with some appropriately deployed systems and tools and accurate management information coming from those projects and programs across that whole portfolio, we should be able to understand at any point in time where are our red flags. So where's the issues, where are the projects that are starting to experience difficulties and need some attention or an intervention, and where are the green flags and successes, and maybe want to celebrate those successes, or maybe we can just, you know, pay less attention to those. Understanding that as a leader is absolutely critical. So portfolio management done well gives us this visibility. It makes sure that we can stay on top of that alignment because it's an evolving picture, and it gives us that control.
So I'm going to come on to ask you some questions about those roles within teams, but I wanted to pick up a couple of things that you've talked about there in terms of portfolio management that I think quite interesting. So we talk about project management, and often, you know, particularly where I work, if you're project managing something, we'll send you off to Agile project management course or a Prince project management course. And I haven't heard about development for those business leaders, like you're saying, around portfolio management. Now, what would you advocate? Do you think business leaders would benefit from development in the area of portfolio management?
I'd suggest so, actually. Yeah, no, I think it is a bit of an area that's less mature than project management. So I think project management is a well-established and mature practice. I think portfolio management, portfolio leadership is just simply less mature, Lou. So yeah, I would absolutely advocate it. And I think you'll see more business leaders stepping into those areas.
Yeah. And the other thing that I was thinking about when you were talking through this is, when you say business leader, I always imagine, you know, some sort of business empire with millions of people and, you know, a big leader on top of it all. But actually, a lot of the organizations that we work with in the university will be very small. And I imagine there are some organizations where you've got an individual who is fulfilling all of these roles. So maybe has a project manager hat on, but actually has to do that bit that you're arguing for that's really important as well, the portfolio management. Is that something that, you know, one person can effectively do by themselves?
I don't think they can do all of it. So we need to clearly differentiate between people who are doing the managing and people who are taking responsibility for things like budgets and authorising particular projects or programmes to be taken forward. A project manager, a program manager can't do all of those things because essentially they'd end up marking their own homework at the end of the day. Mm. So there's governance problems associated with doing that. Though I do appreciate smaller organisations will struggle. However, I think that there's likely, even in the examples you gave, Lou, if there's a small organisation that's got a, you know, a single project manager working to try and trying to deal with all these issues, they should still have some sort of senior responsible owner or project executive. Could be a member of the, could be the chief executive of the organisation, be a member of a particular committee, could be a finance director, who is just responsible and frankly holds them to task and makes sure that they're delivering the project according to the business case or the program according to the outcomes that have been set out.
That makes sense. So on to those roles that we've begun to start to talk about, I'm interested in who owns what and what are the specific roles about. So what's a portfolio owner?
Yeah, so I mean, portfolio owner, I guess there's potentially two names you may see in an organisation, portfolio manager or portfolio director, that are used fairly interchangeably. So either one of those you may find, and they will own the portfolio. But typically, you will find a portfolio director in a more strategic role. They will have greater role of responsibility, probably in a larger and more complex organisation, as you described earlier, Louise. Mm. And really, they will own a portfolio strategy and own it throughout its life. As I mentioned earlier, it's something that needs to evolve over time, reflect change, strategic objectives, and crikey, given the year that we've all had, any portfolio owner, any portfolio director will certainly be looking at the portfolio of projects and programs that they're responsible for and looking to make changes, absolutely looking to make changes there. So very much more strategic role. In a large organisation, you may have portfolio directors and then a series of portfolio managers managing aspects of that. They would certainly look to secure the investment required to manage the portfolio. They would want to make sure that they gain management approval for that strategy and the delivery plan for the portfolio, and then make sure that sort of management practices are properly documented and applied by the projects and programs in the portfolio, so that we can do that tracking, make sure that we can get good MI and good reporting on how it's doing.
That makes sense. And then the other thing I'm wondering about within those roles, particularly when you talk about projects, project managers and program managers, is there a danger that a program manager can kind of interfere, I guess, with some of the project managers' responsibilities? And, you know, what advice would you have to make sure that, you know, they're very clear about their roles and responsibilities?
Yeah, absolutely. I think being critical about roles within an organisation is really important. And if there's any ambiguity or things don't feel right, I think it's important for people to work that through. So, yeah, I've done it myself. You know, often been a program manager that's frankly got too involved in the delivery of projects. You know, we tend to be, it's human nature, we tend to be sometimes a bit control freaky and want to dip into the detail when actually we should be making sure that the project manager is responsible for what they've got to deliver. They are managing the project, but actually as a program manager, you could be calling them to account. Similarly, I've seen many a program manager step into the shoes of the SRO, often because the SRO or the senior responsible owner is either not identified, or perhaps they're an SRO who's got multiple programs they're responsible for. So they're time poor. They haven't got enough time to do the job properly. So lots of experience of that. It's not uncommon in many organizations to see that. So when initiatives are established, it's really important that the SRO is properly identified, or at project level that the project executive is identified, and that the project manager is clear about their responsibilities. And frankly, people respect that. And fulfill their role appropriately. Final thing I'll say on that as well is just with the SRO, its title says exactly what it is. They need to be senior enough within the organisation to make decisions and be accountable, and they need to be responsible, and they need to own it. So if they haven't got time to do that job, or they're not senior enough to do that job, then they're not the right person to do it. So just watch out for, if you're a program manager, just watch out for that, and also watch out for being asked to manage a program when the SRO is unclear.
Yeah, that's good advice. How do you think project managers should correctly structure their projects within a broader program?
Yeah, so it's difficult, really. Programs can be a number of things. I'll move to programs just briefly if I can, Lou, actually, just to explain. So programs can emerge in a number of ways. So I mentioned, you know, programs being a temporary organisation used to direct and oversee a set of projects. Now, that can be set up from the get-go. Yeah, we can have a clear set of outcomes we need to deliver, and then work out the projects that we need to mobilize to deliver those outcomes. What are the outputs those projects need to deliver that they'll then deliver the outcomes we're seeking? Okay, so that all sounds normal. That sounds sensible. Sometimes we have programs that develop because we've got a number of projects. They're all running separately. They've all been created separately for very good reasons. But we're starting to see that they're starting to edge into each other's territory, and we're going to start to have some issues with regard to adoption of business change if we're doing too many changes, too many projects, doing too many changes at any one point in time. So we may put what we call an emergent program in place to deal with that if we need to do so. So if there's lots of projects underway, we need to make sure that they're coordinated properly. We may put an emergent program in place there. And then if you're a standalone project, you can be a standalone project within a portfolio, and that's fine as well. You just need to understand where you're reporting into. So if you're not clear about your governance, you're not clear about who you report into in terms of a project executive, if you're a standalone project, or if you're not clear about your program and your reporting lines there, you know, make sure you find out. It's really, really important, because at some point it will become a problem.
Final question, Richard. What do you think are the key ingredients that we need for successful delivery of projects and programs?
Okay, so I think there's a few here. So with any project or program, you need a really well thought through and agreed business case. Okay. We also need appropriately appointed individuals to the roles we've just discussed. So I'll not go through that again, but we need that business case owned in the right place, and we need it to be a well thought through, a well worked up business case. And the second thing we need to do is we need to make sure we stay on top of that. So making sure that we regularly update it. A lot of business cases get written to get approval and then don't get touched until the end of the project. And surprise, surprise, we don't always deliver the benefits that we expected. And then I guess the third thing, if we look at an organisational level again, I think it's really important that there's some consistency in the way we go about delivering projects and programmes. And I'm really talking here about using best practice models or methods, such as, you know, PRINCE2 or APM models are really, really good examples of those. Or even better, using one of those methods and tailoring it to the organisation that you work within. So, for example, tailoring the governance to fit your organisation, making sure the risk management approach that you're taking on the project and programme feeds into the overarching corporate risk management processes as well. So doing that is incredibly important. Now, in larger organisations, again, something to watch out for is just lots of different methods being used inconsistently. And that's where things can go badly wrong. And that obviously causes us a huge amount of problem if we try to do portfolio management. So if, in the absence of an agreed method, project and program leaders will either revert to what they know, or they will look to apply best practice methods that they might have used elsewhere, perhaps even methods from previous employers, which I've seen a lot as well. Now, the intent here is, of course, a good one, but having a corporate method is very important. Imagine having some of your largest programs running plans using Excel and some others using Microsoft Projects, and risk being scored in different ways, maybe some on a scale of 1 to 5 and some on a 1 to 7. If you're a portfolio manager, how would you make sense of that MI? It would just be impossible to work with. So having an agreed method that's used across an organization is really important. Doing things consistently.
That's really good advice to end on. Richard, thank you for being a really insightful guest. I've learned a lot. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, Louise.
And thank you for listening. If you want to hear more of the Change Management podcast, then please do subscribe. And to find out more about this podcast series and our business services at the University of South Wales, visit southwales.ac.uk/business.